mama pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and started the investigation.
No, Barry, it hasn't turned into a music show, but I got to tell you, some of this great music that Corey's putting into the show these days, that does take you back a year or two.
Absolutely.
I got a question for you before we get back to the health issues. How'd you like to drive? Maybe you're already driving this. You're a successful doctor. A 2-year lease on a 2010 Mercedes-Benz GLK from 3 Point Motors.
That's funny. Joe, you know what I drive?
What?
A 1994 Honda Civic.
Well, that's the lead prize, not the Civic, the Benz, with 1-year insurance.
Yeah.
From Maxim Insurance. That's our feature prize. The runner-up prize is a cross-country trip on Via Rail. And the third great prize, 3 glorious days of fishing and relaxing at Nootka Island Fishing Lodge. It's all a great lineup. You can enter by going to any of the Sirius Coffee stores or up to 3 Point Motors and get your name in. Meantime, we've got Jillian Weddle, who has won a $10 Sirius Coffee Express card. We'll be in touch with you. Now, let's get back to the busy phone board here for Dr. Barry Dworkin. Robert, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Or is this Larry?
That's Robert.
Who's on line two?
I don't know.
Hello?
Hello.
I guess we've lost him. We go to, who is that down on three? Sheila.
Good morning.
Are you there, Sheila?
I am.
Go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
I heard the doctor talking about the vaccines for nicotine and cocaine and so on, and I was wondering whether he's heard about the laser clinic that does laser therapy to replace the need for the nicotine and the drugs and alcohol. They have a really high success rate.
Well, I'd like to see the evidence of how the lasers would actually stop addictions, because if that was the case, we would send all our heroin addicts to them to be able to have that done.
It actually does work. So,
well, I would like to see the evidence, the clinical trials, the placebo effect that's involved with something like that. Because frankly, I in order to understand how an addiction stops, you have to take into account mechanisms of disease and the pathways that lead to reducing the addiction. So I would have to see evidence and proper clinical trials conducted, not from the companies that are doing the actual procedure, but independent studies to show that something that works. Because otherwise, it is anecdotal evidence. And if I may be frank, anecdotal evidence does not constitute an application to general public.
Can she send her information to you via email?
She can send it by email, but it has to be rigorous conducted studies. I don't want advertisements from the companies or the places that essentially show that they have success rates, because invariably what they tend to do is select and do biased selection processes and include people that have succeeded. And also the question then is, how have they followed things up? How many years have they followed people to see if there's any relapses and such? So, you know, it'd be nice if it worked, but I'm generally a skeptic for areas.
Fair enough. What is your email for her to use?
She can go to the SundayHouseCall.com website.
Okay. And give us that again. SundayHouseCall.
SundayHouseCall.com.
.com.
And there is a box in there to send information and or send an email to me with all that information.
Okay, ma'am. I hope you'll follow that up. Another item on your agenda this morning, Doctor, was a Henry Ford Hospital study that has identified 231 new genes associated with head and neck cancer.
That's right. Now, this is interesting. If you think of airplanes and air traffic controllers, in order for the air traffic controller to know what plane they are speaking to, the plane usually sends a signal out, a transponder that usually will give essentially all the information about where the plane, you know, where the plane is, it's all on the screen for them with an identification number. Well, what cancers do is very similar. Cancers will produce different proteins and secrete them into our bloodstream. And each of these proteins as a group for that particular cancer represents almost like a fingerprint or an identification marker for that cancer. Those proteins are produced by the genes within that cell that are responsible. Literally, genes are the recipe books that instruct the cell how to cook or prepare those proteins. So now we have this system where using genes as a means of identifying cancers, creating a library of the genes that are found in specific cancers. And with that, you then have a better ability to identify the cancers, determine what kind of cancers they are, and also how active they are. So what this was is a study done, this National Cancer Institute, Henry Ford Hospital, looked at specific genes in head and neck cancers, because up to now there really haven't been very many identified. And they used a process, and this is another concept that I'd like to get across to our listeners. When a gene is activated or turned on to produce a protein or turned off to not produce the protein, it can affect how the cell functions. That process where the gene is turned on and off is called methylation. Methylation simply means that there's another chemical structure that binds to the gene to switch it on or off. That's all it is. It's like taking your hand. Your hand is the methylation. You go to the light switch. You flick the switch. You've methylated the switch. That's all that this means. And different things can methylate or switch on genes. Things in our environment, exposure to various toxic substances, inherent changes in our biochemistry can do that. And what they did then is they looked at the genes that or the DNA that was methylated in these particular head and neck cancers, and then were able to identify the ones that were seemingly responsible for those cancers. And so they took five DNA samples of five DNA samples from tumor tissue, and they were looking for over a thousand possible genes. And those that they found that were methylated, they took out. And what they managed to do when they referenced these is they found that there were about 230 of them that had this particular condition. And now they're whittling that down to see which combination of those best represents those specific cancers. So this is the initial step to fingerprint or identify or what we call biomarkers of various cancers. And the importance of this is that if you can identify which genes have been methylated, you then can create a treatment that blocks the methylation. Literally like putting a piece of tape over that light switch to prevent you from turning it on and off. You can do that with a medical treatment that blocks that same process, stopping the gene from doing that, stopping the cancer cell from producing the proteins it needs to survive, thereby killing that cancer cell. So that's what this research is showing. It's still initial steps, but it's a very positive step because it's showing that the technology that is being used to identify these things is becoming much more mature, and the information that is gleaned from that is applicable to clinical research that then can be used in a different direction from where we're going now.
Okay, we'll try and squeeze one more caller in here at least here. Very quickly, Greg.
Oh, hi guys. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Good. I wanted to, there's a lot of high-tech stuff going on. I wanted to see what Dr. Dworkin thought about the dogs that were figuring out that whether somebody had cancer through the smell.
Yes, yes.
And also they have epilepsy dogs now that can smell whether somebody's going to have a fit or something, and then they can get to a safe place. I wonder what he thought about that.
All right.
Actually,
I have to ask you to be very quick here, about 30 seconds, please.
Yeah, actually, he is correct. Dogs can pick up the changes in odor because for certain cancers and certain medical conditions, the body chemistry changes, and so the dogs can pick that up because they have much more sensitive smell. Just as they have senses when someone may have a seizure, they can pick up on those changes in the body. So he is very correct about that. The applicability, not sure yet, but definitely that has been shown by various studies.
Okay, that's where we have to leave it. Didn't get to all the calls or the research you've done for us, but tune in Monday, or Sunday rather, at noon till 2 if you want to hear the network show with Dr. Barry Dworkin. Barry, thanks so much.
You're very welcome, Joe. All the best.
Coming up.